Let's one more time put it, our hands together for the Lord Jesus. All right, all right, all right. So, Mama D and I are happy to be back home. 1 week ago, we were worshiping with a small African church of 30,000 members. Listen, we got some work to do. And they're praying, they're strategizing, they're believing for the day they go to 100,000 members. So, you know how competitive I am. It was amazing to be there in Uganda, a ministry that we have been a part of for all of the existence of this planting here. When we started 20 years ago, we started sowing seeds into Uganda, and it's been an amazing field of blessings. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I saw a little bit of the kids' presentation that's going to come here to this church, and so we're happy when Watoto, which are our partners in that area, will come and be a part of Hope once again. Today we're wrapping up our series called Out of the Valley that we have been in, and today we're talking about an important scripture, God heal our land. Have you noticed that we have been in a political season? Anybody seen any advertisements? Anybody been called at home? When we were away for the last week in Africa, the politicians jammed our machine and we couldn't receive any more because they called us every day multiple times. They filled up our machine, and so if you couldn't leave a message while we were away, it's not our fault. You can blame it on the politicians, like we do so many things. And one of the things that happens during the political season, you probably have seen this, is that everyone emphasizes the problems of America. So we've heard a lot of negativity, lots of problems, and then they present that they are the solution to the problems. Things that Americans are interested in, high on the agenda, things like terrorism, both foreign and domestic. Americans are thinking about that. Americans are concerned about the political system in general right now. And not to like cast aspersions on anybody, but you look at the two leading candidates and some you just go, are this the best we can do? Yeah. Just the whole nation, you just wonder that. And then people are worried about the economy, unemployment. I had a guy this morning say, hey, I lost my job this week. I've lost my job. Something that doesn't score high on the national agenda, but is certainly a high personal issue for me, is the protection of the unborn and the right to life. That's huge in my life. It's huge. So big thing for me. Big thing for. I think that we should be a voice to those who have no voice, and justice for those that may experience injustice. But here's something you have to be careful about during the political season, that you don't allow your soul to be filled with negativity. Be very careful. I personally have great hope in my heart. Hope is something that God gives, and I have it. Hope believes that ultimately God is good, and God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and He's working that, and that we can choose to be part of His plan and His purpose at any time of our lives, including today. Everybody say today. Today you can choose to be a part of what God is doing on the planet. And I'm going to talk about a power verse that you may have seen. I bet you it's on some of the walls of your home. I bet you it's underlined in your Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that says, if my people, which are called by my name. Now just pause right there. In fact, let's say those words together so we really zero in on this truth, that the healing of the land doesn't come from the White House, it comes from your house. Okay, so here's how the verse starts. Here's how it goes. Let's say it together. If my people, which are called by my name. One more time. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, it's so easy to get upset about others and point the fingers out there. But this verse says it's my people that are called by my name. You can choose today to be part of the healing of the nation. And here's how the nation is healed. The nation is healed through people who live in the nation. And we're called to be salt and light in this nation. And if we could get enough of us healed up, we will be the blessing to this land that we should be. And here's how the verse says it happens. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear and I will heal. And how many would like this land to be healed? Put your hand up high. Come on, put your hand up high. Put your hand up high. Should be everybody, everybody. But notice, if my people, which are called by my name, does God have any of his people in the house today? Okay. That are called by his name. So we want to listen to this, and we certainly want to pray that the nation would be healed, but the nation's healing begins with our own healing, and the nation has issues. And you have issues. Oh, you are a little stronger for the nation having issues. You see, that's a point. I still get, don't get, because it's so easy to go, look at those guys over there. Shouldn't have erased your email. You shouldn't use dirty language. Out there. Let's bring it down here. Let's bring it home. Because you're part of the healing of the nation. We're part of it. If my people, which are called by my name, will, number one, humble themselves. Let's talk about four principles. And the first one is this. Confession, open confession, that is made in humility. Humility opens our hearts to the ability of God. Let me say that again. Humility opens our hearts to the ability of God. It recognizes, I need God. We begin that personally, and then as the nation catches on, we understand the whole nation needs God. And it comes when we humble ourselves. America is a great nation, but America without God is nothing. So we need to be people of humility, that are proud of our country, but we have to be careful of our pride. Because pride, get this, pride separates us from the plan of God. Humility opens us up to the plan of God. What's the middle letter of the word pride? I. What's the middle letter of the word sin? I, me. I want. Now, James teaches us that God resists the people who are proud, and he gives grace to people who are humble, which means that the Lord can speak to me at any time and say, Scott, when the slightest amount of pride gets in your heart, you have set yourself in opposition to me, and I don't want to be there. But if you will humble yourself and admit you need help, then I will give you grace. And what is grace? Grace is God's power to change your life. And that grace is available today. Your life could be radically changed today. When could your life be changed? When could it be changed? Today. By stopping resisting God and admitting you need help. How many would like to be successful in life? Let me see your hand. How many would like to be real successful? I'm just seeing if anybody didn't put your hand up. I want to pray for you. But we should all desire. Come on, what about you? What about just checking on you? Well, yes, true. So here's what the Proverbs teaches us. You need to humble yourself and quit hiding your sin. Watch what Proverbs says. Quit hiding your sin, because if you hide your sin, according to Proverbs 28, if you hide your sin, you won't be successful. Now, it's easy to see the sins of the politicians, because they've had people researching them for months. They have been digging through trash. They have been checking out everything. But what about you? What if we went through your trash and your emails? What if we got your private conversations? Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about somebody else. Let's get mad at somebody. No, let's talk about you. Here's the truth of humility. Humility says, I need help. Let me just say to you, friends, beloveds, brothers and sisters, your pastor needs help. I got issues. I need God's help. I need God's grace. I need to come and say, God, would you heal me? Because I need your healing. Start in me. Start the work in me. And you know what? You're part of that journey. James teaches us this as well, that we need to confess with humility. But notice who James says we should confess to. James says that we should confess our faults, confess our sins. What does he say? Not only to God. What does he say? Confess your sins to each other. Here's how God has wired the universe. God has wired the universe that you need other people to become whole. That hiding it away, pretending you are perfect, pretending you got it all together, coming here and looking as good as y'all do, but not letting God heal your own heart, that hurts the nation. Because as you become whole, as you become the person that God wants you to be, the man that God wants you to be, the woman that God wants you to be, then you can give that healing to the nation. Then you can give that strength to the nation. So I encourage you to learn this truth. Confession with humility. Find others who will help you. We don't encourage general confession. I don't want anybody to stand up in the church and say, hey, I got to confess my issues. Not this morning. I know you'd like to, but not this morning. Just hold on right there. But find some people you can trust. That's why we have small groups around here. That's why connect groups are so important, so that you can find people you can trust, because trust brings truth. Amen. Yeah, when you trust somebody enough, then the truth can start to come out. And that doesn't happen the first connect meeting. That doesn't happen the first small group. Sometimes it's months, sometimes it's year, till finally the truth comes up. And when the truth comes up, then you can confess it, and they will pray for you, and James says, then you will be healed. You want to talk about healing the nation? Let's talk about healing ourselves. Confession, doing life together, letting go of pride and arrogance and ego. And you know what ego is, E-G-O, edging God out, you know that. So let's let that go so that we can humble ourselves, and then we can move into the second step. If my people, which are called by name, will humble themselves and pray. Throughout this whole series, we've talked about personal renewal and personal revival, and we've talked about prayer over and over, and have you heard this? Over and over and over, prayer over and over, prayer over and over, prayer over and over again. We've called you to prayer. We've had special times of prayer, because you cannot receive personal renewal without a life of prayer. So we can talk about the land. We can talk about, whoo, getting all energized, about, whoo, signing people up and doing all that stuff, but we got to be people of prayer. And I want to encourage you to pray with tenacity. Say tenacity. That's prayer that doesn't give up. That's prayer that's going to pray today and pray tomorrow and pray all the way to November the 8th, and then it's going to pray on the 9th. No matter who is elected. Some of you are ready to give up on the 8th. So I'm going to back up, pray today and pray tomorrow and pray to the 8th and pray on the 9th. Amen. Tenacity. I love this verse in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. And a couple of words I'd like you to note. It says that you should be earnest in your prayer. And here's unwearied. Unwearied. That's not a word I use a lot. Unwearied. Are you unwearied? But circle it. Unwearied and steadfast in your prayers. And so what God is calling us to do is to be unwearied, to not give up. One of the great Bible examples of this is Jacob. When he wrestles with God and says, God, I am not going to let go until you bless me. God likes that kind of praying. Have you ever heard about prayer being a war, or talking about prayer warriors? These are the people that understand tenacity. These are the people that don't give up. These are the people that press through. Because it sorts out the wimps from the warriors. The wimps pray one time and go, man, it didn't happen. I prayed last week, Pastor, nothing happened. I'm packing it in. Where's your unweariedness? Where's your steadfastness? Praying with tenacity sorts out the whims of prayer from the winners of prayer. Whims. Let me show you what whims are. We're coming up. They've already started. Have you seen this? They have already started on television. Christmas. My Lord in heaven. Does anybody have their tree up already? So here, if you have children or grandchildren, you know about whims. Kids can have whims as they move towards Christmas, and you got to be careful because October's whim is different than December's whim. Oh, I gotta have it. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I have to have it. But then a couple of weeks, no, I don't want that anymore. You've already bought it. It's in the tree. This is what I need now. This is definitely what I need. But then it goes, that's gone. Nobody wants that anymore. But this is what I want. And sometimes we pray like that. And God helps us to sort out. Sometimes you've got whims in prayer, and thank God he doesn't answer them. I often tell you, thank God that Mama D's prayers weren't answered or she wouldn't be married to me. And she wouldn't be happy. She'd be married to a boy instead of a man. I gotta be careful. People know this. Someone erase that from this. Take that out of the message. Just erase that portion, please. Do not release that for the general population. 27 times in the Bible, God asks us to ask. Ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door is going to ask. He is asking you to ask him. So my question is, what are you asking for? And are you asking big enough? Are you asking big enough for your own life? Are you asking big enough for the nation? Are you asking God to bring such personal revival to your life that you will become the embodiment of Christ walking on the earth, that people will be healed as you pray for them? People will receive the kingdom of God through the power of your words. Are you praying that you would be transformed into a living, breathing, walking entity, an ambassador of Christ? Are you praying prayers big enough that they scare the kajibbies out of you? And you know kajibbies is a Hebrew word. Are you praying for our nation, our beloved nation? And are you praying big enough? Are you asking God to do all that he needs to do? You know, Ephesians calls us to pray in the Spirit. That's to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you got a pen, just notice that the prayers are like all in. These are all in prayers. Just notice the time he uses all and always. Pray in the Spirit all the time. And pray with all kinds of prayer. And ask for all that you need. And do this always. Be ready and never give up. Never, never, never give up. Always pray for all of God's people. There's a whole lot of alls in that verse. It's a not giving up verse. It's an all-in verse. You want to see our nation changed? Let's go all in with our prayers. Let's go all in with our prayer life. Let's ask God for big things personally and then together as a family in our communities, that God would transform communities as he transforms us. So if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, the power of humility, and pray and seek my face. I want you to get this. There's a promise in this verse, and the promise is that God will heal our land. But for every promise, there is a premise. This is how God works. For every promise, there is a premise. He's looking for partnership. God is going to do amazing things, but he's waiting for you to humble yourself. He's waiting for you to pray. He's waiting for you to seek his face. That's the power of focus. To seek with intensity, to be intense about the focus of your life. What do you spend your time on? 168 hours, where does it go? If all you have is an hour on the weekend, you haven't got this yet. I'm preaching better than you're listening. So people ask me, Scott, are you a golfer? Do you play golf? No. I play at golf. I don't play golf. Last 12 months, I've golfed twice. You cannot be good at golf and golf twice in a year. I golfed the Africans like to take me golfing. And I usually say no to everyone, but I can't say no to my African brothers. Come and golf with us. I go, I guess God wants me to be humbled once again. If I ever start feeling like I'm hot stuff, just get that little ball. I'm not hot stuff. Or the worst one, and it's still there. Yeah, it was my practice. I was just practicing there, my practice swing, yeah. I'll get it next time. But I'm intent on my seeking God. Because I've learned this. Hebrews tells us that we need to seek God earnestly. Earnestly. And if we will seek God earnestly, He will reward. So I want to get up every day and say, God, today is your day. I want to seek you earnestly. I want you to lead me and guide me today. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit today. I want your power today. I want your presence in me today. I want to feel no jet lag today. Yeah, it's about 24 hours to get to Africa. It's 24 hours back, and I'm just fresh back, so who knows where I am. But I was up early, first thing this morning, before I showered, before I shaved, before I got my coffee, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Today is your day. Do your thing. Lead and guide me. I want to live by the principle that Jesus taught us by in Matthew, and he says, seek God's kingdom first. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth. First. First thought of the day, I want it to be of his kingdom. I want to give my day to God. You've got a verse in your study guide in Deuteronomy that says, seek him with all your heart. When you seek him with all your heart, then you'll find him. That's where I want to be. I want to seek him with all my heart so I can find him. And then he starts to order your steps. Then he starts to do with your days things you cannot do yourself. So we're flying over, and we've got to take a bunch of planes to get to Africa. And we get up and we say, hey, God, lead and guide us today. Put us with the right people. We get on a plane, and Darla and I aren't sitting exactly together. We're sitting like together, but across the aisle of the plane. Now, Darla likes sitting beside me. But I'm separated by an aisle so that a young lady can sit beside her who happens to live in the neighborhood that we're going to last weekend when we were worshiping with the Africans so that she could be with us in church. Out of the whole world, how does that happen? Seek him first. Say, God, lead my steps. Would you like to live a supernatural life? Would you like to live a supernatural life? Yeah. So you seek him first. Give him your whole heart. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek focus on the kingdom of God. And watch this one, and turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. Let's talk about repentance. Repentance is part of healing the land, and repentance is part of healing our lives. Repentance is a word, the Greek word is metanoia. Meta meaning to turn or to churn. Noia meaning to know. It's to change what you know. It's to change your mind. And we're called to change our mind, to change the way we think, to change the paradigm of our life, to be one point of view changes to another point of view. We used to think this about God, that he was cold and austere and a harsh big man living up in heaven, just waiting to hit us on the head. But now we've read the scriptures, and now we see God in the person of Jesus Christ, and we understand that God is filled with grace and truth and love, and he calls us into his kingdom. We see God in a different way now. We have a change. We have a turn. We used to think this way about money, that money would solve all our problems. We figured out that's not true now. We've now figured out that God solves all our problems, and money is a tool that we use. We change the way we think. We change the way we think about ourselves, the way we view ourselves. I talked to somebody this week who literally said to me, I am crap. Their word. I'm just quoting them. That's how I can get away with saying crap. I'm quoting someone else. They said it. I'm just reporting it. I report, you decide. It's okay, it's the way it works. I said, no, you're not crap. I said, you were made by God. You were formed by God. And somebody in this room, the enemy has been saying to you, you're crap. Scott's talking about changing the nation, and that's for somebody else because you're not valuable enough to do that. But God didn't make you crap. God doesn't make crap. God makes sons and daughters. God makes children. God makes those that he loves enough to send his son to the cross to pay for you so that you can be in his family. That's how he looks at you. And you need to have a repent. You need to turn from the way you think about yourself so that you can become all the person God intends you to be. Here's a passage of scripture. I'll just read five verses quick. This is from the letter of Paul to Timothy, but it's filled with things that need to be turned around personally in our lives and in our nation. First of all, Paul says to Timothy, hey, we're in the last generation. We're in the last of the last days, and I believe that we are there. And in the last of the last days, he says, you got to be careful of these things. You got to be careful so that you turn from people who love only themselves. You've got to turn from loving money. Oh, does America need that message? Somebody say amen. That's true. You need to turn from being boastful. You need to turn from being proud. You need to turn from scoffing at God. You need to turn from being disobedient to your parents. And all the parents said, it's right in there. You need to turn from being ungrateful. You need to turn from seeing nothing as sacred. You need to turn from being unloving. You need to turn from being unforgiving. You need to turn from slander. You need to turn from having no self-control. You need to turn from being cruel. You need to turn from hating what is good. You need to turn from betraying your friends. That's good. You need to turn from recklessness. You need to turn from being puffed up with pride. You need to turn from loving pleasure rather than God. You need to turn from having a religious act but having no power. There's something in that list that you need. That's a big list. 19 things are there. Surely what? So, no, I'm good. I'm good on all of them. Then you're hiding your junk. But here's the problem. As long as you hide your junk, the nation won't be healed. Because it's not in the White House. It's in your house. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, we'll pray, we'll seek my face, we'll turn from the stuff that's messing you up and get it out and get it healed, then God will turn you into a healer and the nation will be healed. I love Acts chapter 3 when it says, hey, repent, metanoia, turn towards God, and your sins will be wiped out. God will give you a fresh start and a new beginning, and then times of refreshing will come. We've been talking about being in the valley, being dry, but I'll tell you what, when you come out of the valley, you repent and you let go of that lifestyle, and God transforms you individually and a nation. So a week ago, we were in Uganda, East Africa, a nation that has been through transformation, definitely been through transformation. Some of you have been around long enough to know of Idi Amin, the dictator that was part of leading Uganda in the 70s. He killed, by world estimates, between 100,000 and 500,000 people without trial. Genocide to his own people. The country was filled with instability. The country was filled with unrest. There was no economic. It was just a mess, broken. 30 years ago, when he came to the end of his power, a young couple that's part of our partnership stepped into the nation and said, God heal the land. Gary and Marilyn Skinner, who have been here, who preached, stepped in and said, we want to humble ourselves, say we need God. We want to pray, we want to focus on God and on his ability, not on our lack, and we want to call the nation to turn. And they started to minister to people that God loved, vulnerable women, at-risk children, orphans. We partnered with them 20 years ago, and you can literally feel the nation moving forward as you go there. It gives me great hope. Nations can transform. Nations can change. Because you feel it, there's more security, even the economics. And not everyone in the country is following God. But it doesn't take everybody. It takes the people of God who are called to get in line with God. And you become a healing influence in the nation. And you actually help to pull the whole nation up. See, I'm a Kingdom of God guy. Yes, you should vote. I think it's your Christian responsibility to vote. I don't think it's an option. You can't be salt and light and stay at home. If you're going to be salt in this election, get out of the salt shaker. You got to do something. But that all aside, and I think you should, that all aside, my hope that I have today is in the kingdom of God. Because it transforms the nation. Uganda has been changed because people followed these principles. And I think America can be changed if God's people, which are called by His name, will humble themselves, will pray, will seek His face, and will turn from our wicked ways instead of always pointing at others' wicked ways as a distraction. Then God will heal you, and through you He will heal the land. God heal our land is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we stand together for prayer. We close our eyes and we open our hearts wide. Open your heart wide. Don't be distracted. Listen to the voice which is beyond my voice, the voice of His Spirit. Feel His hand. I promise you, He is here right now. Jesus Christ is in this room as surely as I'm in this room. And I promise you what He's doing is He is knocking on your heart's door to be part of the solution, to bring you, get this, to bring you to a new level of healing so that you can be healed to be a healer, so that you can be blessed to be a blesser. So we humble ourselves, and in this moment, we all admit we need God. Some are going to admit it for the first time. You're literally going to join the family of God with this prayer. And I'm going to lead in a simple prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to pray it because we all need God in this room. There's nobody that doesn't need God. But I pray 100% of people would just understand in this moment, I need God. I admit I need Him, and I receive His grace. I'm going to stop my pride, I'm going to stop my selfishness, and I'm going to receive His grace. We do that right now by praying this simple prayer. Pray it out loud, please. Lift your voice and say with all the people around you, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name because I need You in my life. I need You to be my Savior. I need You to be my Lord. I repent of my sins. I turn away from them, and I receive Your grace, Your love, Your forgiveness, Your mercy. Heal my soul, and help me to bring healing to this land. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. That's a good prayer, amen. That's a good prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah. So if you prayed it for the first time, for the first time in a long time, it is so essential that you tell one of our prayer team. Just walk up in the next few moments and say, hey, I prayed with Scott, beginning new today. Our prayer team is also here just to pray for whatever circumstance, whatever need you have to minister to you in the name of Jesus, so that we would be part of the four principles we talked about today. We would humble ourselves. It's humbling to come and talk to somebody. Some of you resist that. I'm just going to do it myself here. God, You hear me here. I'm okay. But you're not humbling yourself. It's humbling to come and talk to somebody and say, hey, I need help. You don't have to confess everything because you may not know these people very well, and that's fine. But you need to find somebody you trust that you can, like, get your stuff out. But you can at least say, hey, pray for this area of my life and begin the healing today. Let God work while the prayer team is praying. The communion tables will open. There's a communion table on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. And we ask you to come if you'd like to receive the bread of the Lord and the cup of the Lord. Don't come out of religious duty. Come out of love. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. So the only thing we ask is that you're thinking about Jesus. You're thinking about the fact that He went to the cross for you because He loves you more than you'll ever understand. He died on the cross for you. He absorbed all of your guilt, all of your sin, all of your shame. He took it all away on the cross. They put Him in the tomb, but He didn't stay there. He rose on the third day, and as you receive communion, He is present with you. Celebrate the present presence of Christ in the communion. Say, Lord, thank You for loving me. If you've been a guest here today, thanks so much for coming. We believe that God has an incredible plan for your life, and we want to see that plan fulfilled, the divine destiny that God has for you. We'd love to be helpful in that process. If you're a guest that's here and you haven't ever stopped by our hospitality room, it's back at the right-hand side, your left-hand side. It says hospitality. Just step in there. Kind people. Maybe you want a quieter place to pray. They'll pray with you in there. Maybe you have some questions, they'll answer them, or just give you some gifts and say, hey, thanks for coming. But we love the fact that you're here. I'm going to pray one more prayer. He's going to bless you. And then just let the Holy Spirit work in us. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit move amongst us and the healing that is needed in this room to take place. And I pray you have a great day today, too. I pray the blessing of the Lord is with you. So as I pray this final blessing for you, I'm going to open my hands towards the Heavenly Father. I invite you to close your eyes and open your hands with me in this moment. And Father, here are your daughters. See them reaching out to you. They love you. Here are your sons, God. See them reaching out to you. They love you. Would you pour your Holy Spirit in, through, and around them? Would you strengthen them in all ways? Would you heal them? Lord, deliver us from sweeping things under the rug. We won't be successful. Help us to bring it out so that we can be healed, and heal us so that we can be a healing to others. I bless all in the strong and the mighty and the majestic name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his name, you are very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord just a praise. Good to be together. So good. So good. So good. So good. So come forward for prayer, communion, and may the blessing of the Lord be with you.